This is the Smallmouth Crush Podcast. If you're a hardcore angler, you've come to the right place. This is a weekly podcast that will interview some of the top smallmouth bass anglers in North America. Travis and his guest will discuss what it takes to consistently catch big smallmouth, and you'll get a glimpse inside the mind of a trophy smallmouth angler. And now, here's your host of the Smallmouth Crush Podcast, Travis Manson.
Yo, welcome to the Smallmouth Crush Podcast. My name is Travis Manson, and today's episode, we're talking, of course, big smallmouth. We talk with some of the top smallmouth anglers in the country, and today's guest, JJ Judd, is a stud when it comes to, hey, that rhyme, he is a stud when it comes to catching big bass, and he dominates Lake Champlain, one of the top anglers to ever fish that body of water, and I'm super excited to bring this interview to you. Now, keep in mind, JJ fishes Lake Champlain, and that's pretty much it from what I found out in this interview with him. He's only a few hours from some of the best smallmouth fishing in the country, the St. Lawrence River, Lake Ontario, inland lakes in the area, and the dedication that he has to Lake Champlain and the time that he spends there. That's passion. That's being driven to dominate a body of water and really focus on that and stay on top. And I think that's what makes him so successful, is when you commit yourself to one body of water. Now, granted, you know, Lake Champlain's huge, right? It's like a mini ocean. It's a mini Great Lake. There's so much going on there that to really be as successful as him, because there isn't too many tournaments he's not. He's cashing checks. He's winning tournaments on a regular basis. So he is one of the best locals up in that region. So anyone that's thinking about dominating their body of water, I really want you to take note. That was one of the biggest takeaways that I got from this interview, is just, you know, how much time and how many hours he has logged fishing on that body of water to help him become successful. But I would like to give a shout out to our sponsors. The Real Shot, of course, is becoming the number one tackle store for bass anglers across the country. They have a great online store. They actually have a great store in general, located in Northeast Wisconsin. They have all your tackle needs, any baits, a lot of specialty baits, huge selection of JDM baits as well. And of course, all your standards, whether it be VMC, Rapala, Berkeley, they got it all. And of course, some of the harder to find baits, evergreens, mega bass, you name it. Head on over to the Real Shot. .com, their website. You can place an order online, and if you use the code SmallmouthCrush15, you're going to get a 15% discount on your order, which is pretty cool. Hey, anything helps. We're all addicted to tackle. It's expensive to catch these fish, but if you head over there, they're going to help you out a little bit. Tell them Smallmouth Crush sent you. Well, let's bring our next guest on. For this podcast, this guy is a stick, JJ Judd. Let me bring him in. There he is.
Hey, Travis. Good. How's it going, man?
Good, good. So I know you're going to have a lot of great information, and I really want to pick your brain when it comes to smallmouth fishing. You know, regionally, you pretty much dominate. I mean, be honest, Champlain and a few other bodies of water. But I want to know a little bit about your background as far as, are you in Vermont or New York?
I'm in Vermont. I'm okay. Like, I grew up like, I don't know, 10 miles from the Canadian border. And when I started fishing, I really didn't fish Champlain a whole lot. I used to fish this little pond called Fairfield Pond. And that's kind of where I cut my teeth. And it's a fun little place to, you know, I learned how to trick fish a little bit. It never got any pressure. So like in order to get a boat in there, you had to back your truck up until the water's coming into the truck through the doors to get a 15-foot boat off. So that's where I got started anyways.
Sure. Would you say Lake Champlain is your home body of water now?
Oh yeah, it is definitely now. Now I'm like, I've moved, you know, since then and stuff. I'm like 9 minutes to the St. Albans boat ramp, and I've spent a lifetime on that lake. I mean, there's not many rocks I haven't found.
Wow. Wow. I know you can catch some big largemouth too. You know, we really want to pick your brain when it comes to the smallmouth side, but I do want to give you credit there. There's plenty of tournaments you've won with big largemouth. Do you get to fish outside of Lake Champlain often, or are you pretty much just committed to that lake?
Well, I mean, these days now, there's so many tournaments that come to Champlain that I've decided, you know, it's not worth traveling. If you got to go to, you know, the Connecticut River or something like that to fish a tournament where if you do the math, you really got to come in the top three just to break even, it's not worth it. You know, I go to work 40 hours a week and guaranteed to make money doing that. And the competition out there now is so good. And, you know, unless you've got sponsors and stuff like that, it's really hard to make a buck, you know, just paying for it yourself. So I decided to just let them come here. And, you know, if I cherry pick the ones I think I can make some money in and pretty much do that.
Sure. No, that makes sense. If it's working out for you, why change it? So I guess we're really going to focus on Champlain, if that's okay with you. And
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, we have an expert here talking smallmouth. So people are going to enjoy this one. You know, Champlain's a huge body of water. If our viewers and listeners are not familiar with it, it's located in upstate New York and Vermont. It borders the two states, and it's a huge lake, beautiful lake, probably one of the prettiest fisheries in the country. It's actually a lake where I got my start when it came to bass fishing outside of the state of Wisconsin. I had my first open there back in, 2010. And actually led day one. So I got that to my credit.
I remember that. Didn't you have largemouth that day?
I did, man. I was, I was expecting smallmouth. Okay. So yeah. I'm going to definitely ask you about that because I was expecting to catch smallmouth off this spot. And I mean, 22 pounds of largemouth in an hour and a half showed up.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me.
I mean, that's what happened to Aaron Martins when he won the Elite Series the last time, you know, he was up here when he won. I think he was fishing smallmouth as well. And the area that he was fishing, I know it like the back of my hand, and I'd never caught largemouth in that particular area. And, you know, that's kind of sounds like what happened to him too. It does happen on this lake. And especially these days, our largemouth are acting like smallmouth now. And, you know, you go out and we're fishing spots in 30 feet of water in the middle of July, you know, drop shot with our pan optics and whatnot. And, you know, we're fishing team tournaments and you set the hook. And usually the first thing is you think it's a largemouth or smallmouth? That's usually what's starting to come out of our mouths, you know, if they're not really taking off and they're just dead weight. So the lake has changed so much. It's ridiculous.
Sure. Now there's so much to Lake Champlain, you know, different sections of the lake. I kind of consider it, you know, three sections. You have the lower half, which is predominantly largemouth. Of course, smallmouth live down there. Then you have the middle section, which I have not spent a whole lot of time in. And then, of course,
many people have.
Yeah, I bet there's some opportunities in that middle section.
Yeah, especially pre-spawn. The you know, when the fish are just barely starting to move up, that main lake is probably the best place to fish.
Interesting.
And but we don't have many pre-spawn tournaments up here, you know, so a guy that likes to throw a crankbait, you know, he doesn't even hardly ever get to use that on Champlain.
Sure. And then, of course, the northern end has a little bit of both species, whatever you want to target. One cool thing about Champlain, if anyone's thinking about just heading up there, fun fishing and whatnot, you can always, you know, even someone who may struggle at fishing in general, you can get some bites on Champlain. There's so many fish swimming around there, it seems. Really to compete at the level of anglers that are out there, I mean, even your local tournaments, man, you got a bunch of big names that do some damage on those lakes. So what I'd like to talk about, JJ, is maybe walking through the seasonal patterns when it comes to Champlain. Champlain's open year-round, right, for catch and release, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, early spring, like when would be a typical ice out where the launches are open? Are you on that lake that weekend or are you waiting a little bit?
I'm in the turkey woods. That's where I am.
So you're shooting turkeys.
I'm shooting turkeys.
You're waiting for that water to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I will go out, you know, and play around. One of my favorite ways to fish is crankbait fishing. And And, you know, that pre-spawn on Lake Champlain, you can have some of your biggest bags of fish in that May time, you know, just going up and down shorelines with a crankbait, you know, throwing a wiggle wart, something with a real tight wiggle when that water's really cold. And, you know, you're catching pre-spawn fish. And right up on the bank, you know, anywhere from 2 to 6 feet of water. It depends on how the water clarity, you know, the dirtier the water, the shallower I will go. You know, that's kind of how it goes. You know, if you got a spot that you can see the bottom in 4 feet, I'll start fishing in 5 feet. You know, that's kind of, even all year round, unless the fish are on beds, that's kind of the way I try to eliminate a lot of water when I am practicing. Like I was telling you earlier, you know, I work 40 hours a week. So if there's a big tournament, I've only got a couple of days. And, you know, on Champlain, things change so much from year to year. It's like I've been fishing now since 1997, I think, is when I started fishing tournaments on Champlain. And I don't think I've ever won a tournament on the same spot twice, and I've won a lot of tournaments, and you know, it constantly is changing.
Not having specific spots, it's more,
yeah,
staying on top of the current pattern, I guess.
Yeah, and being the lot of the things with Champlain is you got to learn how to practice, and a lot of guys, you know, they go out and they fish Champlain and they find a spot and they're using their brain and it looks good, there's grass, there's rock, and they catch a big fish and then they catch another fish and they leave and then they go back to the bar and they think they're on them. But, you know, a lot of these spots only got one or two fish on them anyways, you know, that before the school or whatever shuts off. And so a lot of my tournament fishing, I don't even, you know, I'm practicing during my tournament time. A lot of the, I mean, I hit my normal milk run and I do try to find a school of fish to at least start with, but you really got to play the day on Champlain and say, oh, okay, wait a minute. Now the wind's blowing out of the west. I gotta go do this because I know it will work, even if you didn't do it during practice. And I think that's the difference. You know, maybe that's one of the reasons, like, I got a lot of confidence. I swing for the fence every time I fish. And, you know, in those local tournaments and stuff, it's no big deal if you don't catch them, but it's a lot more fun to win them, you know.
So after, you know, the pre-spawn, when that water temp starts to warm up, you know, you said crankbaiting is one of your favorite ways to fish during that time frame. You know, when that water temp's in that 55 to 60, what's starting to happen? What's going through your thought process to, you know, if you're going out there to try to catch some smallmouth?
Well, it all depends on, like, you know, like you said, the water temperature. 55 is like the temperature on Champlain where they really start to get on beds. And what I try to do is I try to look at the wind, you know, the forecast. So say I'm practicing for a tournament on a Sunday and I got a tournament the following Saturday, and, you know, cause I got to practice on the weekends cause I got to work during the week. So I look at that long forecast and really try to figure out which way the wind's blowing. And that kind of determines where I'm going to look for fish, because a lot of times what happens on Champlain is say you found a whole bunch of big spawners on the New York side and the water temperature is 57, 58 degrees, and they've only been up for a few days. And now it looks like you're going to get a real strong south wind for the next 3 days. So what happens is that south wind will push that basin water up against the bank and it will flip. It can flip the water temperature overnight like 10 degrees. So what I try to do when I'm practicing, I look at that forecast and I try to find areas that I think are going to be stable. You know, spots where fish are probably going to, if they're up and they're going to be protected from the wind, you know, for the whole week, there's a real good chance those fish are still going to be there the following week.
You know, sight fishing on Champlain, there's a lot of opportunity to be able to see the beds. Do you ever find yourself in a situation where the water has gotten a little bit more dirty in areas that you like and it's not as effective for you to see those beds? You just bail on that, or do you blind cast, or how do you target those fish when those conditions come up?
Well, I catch every single fish during practice because, you know, if I'm taking 3 or 4 days, you know, if it's an Everstar or Toyota series, whatever they call now, you know, I will catch everyone. Cause there's, you know, the difference, I missed the cut. I think it was in 2017 I came in 11th in the Costa. I missed the cut by 1 ounce and I left fish that I was saving for that third day. I thought, you know, whatever I had 35, 36 pounds was going to be plenty to make the cut, and I missed it by 1 ounce. But to get back to your question, yeah, when that water gets muddy on Champlain, the biggest problem is pollen that time of year. So what I like to do is I wash the bed, is what we call it. I flip my troll motor on 100 and I just do donuts over the top of the bed. and until I get a swirl going. When I get that swirl going, it will push the pollen away from the bed, and now you'll have a small window where you can really see good.
Between that and the cottonwood and all that stuff, it can get pretty frustrating. So after the spawn, does the fishing get a little bit tougher, or can you stay on those fish in that transition before their real summer pattern comes into play?
Well, with Champlain, you know, being 111 miles long, you can really stay on whatever pattern you want for quite a while. Like, I can be fishing fish on beds down by the chimney or, you know, Crown Point Bridge. And then a week later, I can be fishing those, you know, same type of fish up in Plattsburgh. And then, you know, kind of rotate around. But I've kind of got a little figured out. I've got a lot of little areas that once they're off from the beds, they go out and they feed on. You know, I always, you know, tell people, you know, after the spawn, the smallies really go to the humps. That's kind of where they, you know, they go out on the humps that are, you know, that 19, 18 foot area. And I think they, you know, they try to pack on a few pounds and, to, you know, kind of recoup from the spawn. A lot, it depends where you are though. Like Rouse's Point, those fish, they up that end of the lake, they stay shallow all the time. I mean, you can catch them there shallow all year long.
What do you think is the deal on Champlain when those fish start to get out deeper? We're talking now July, August, September. What's your favorite way to target them that time of year?
Just idling a lot. You know, I will always idle over, you know, areas I've had fish in the past and stuff. But I'm constantly looking for new things because, you know, the lake is so big. You can idle forever. I remember a tournament, I think it was 2005 Northern Open. We found this school of fish in City Bay. And like, there was 11 boats, I think. I got a picture of it somewhere, that were all fishing the same spot the first morning. You know, and probably 9 of them really found it on their own. And then there's got 2 guys that come driving down the lake and say, "Oh, what's going on over there?" You know what I mean? But it was just crazy. There was so many fish in that hole. But
so a lot of time with the electronics. What are you mainly looking for when you're idling? Is it breaks? Is it the humps? Is it some grass? A variety of things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for bait that's tight together. You know, I don't like that on my graph. I don't like that serpentine type of bait. You know, I like the bait that's more tight together because, you know, I think, you know, the smallies are more of a pack and they're working together to keep that bait tight. You know, so when you got a, you know, I've seen on Champlain where you got bait in 30 feet of water that goes right up to 4 feet under the surface and stays there for a month. And those, you know, it's like there's so many smallmouth that are just corralling that area and they just don't let them go. And I don't know why the bait's there to begin with. Because, you know, you can go a week later after and then it's all gone completely. But I had a spot like that last year. There was big yellow perch and it was just a huge school of them. And, you know, they were there for about a month and then just like that, for some reason, they left.
What do you think the primary forage is that time of year for smallmouth? You mentioned yellow perch. Is it a little bit of that or?
Yeah, I mean, In the main summertime, you know, this lake now, it's changed so much. Like if you asked me this question 20 years ago, hands down yellow perch. But now it's smelt, it's alewives and yellow perch. But a lot of our smallmouth, they've changed on this lake. I mean, I've got friends that they fish for lake trout and salmon, and they're always telling me that they're running their downriggers, you know, over 120 feet, 60 feet down, and they got 4 rods out. And all 4 of them go off the same time and they catch 4 4-pound smallmouth. So these fish on Lake Champlain are changing. I think tournament fishing has a lot to do with that. You know, a lot of the little secret spots before all these chips came out that shows every secret rock in the lake, you know, these fish used to hang around those areas. And I think with them getting transported from the inland sea to Plattsburgh and then having to cross 200 feet of water and find, you know, the gut or an Elberg passage to get back to the inland sea is almost impossible. So I think a lot of those fish, they start to come out of Plattsburgh where all these tournaments are, and they may run into a school of smelt and they're hungry. They eat that. And next thing you know, 4 years have gone by and they haven't left that school.
That makes a good point. Is there gobies in Champlain?
I don't believe there's goby in Lake Champlain. Not that I know of. Not yet. Right.
Right. Right. What do you think your strengths are when it comes to smallmouth fishing?
My strengths are definitely sight fishing. If I put my mind to it, I've got good eyes. And Well, I used to. They're not as good as they used to be. But, you know, I've got a lot of history on Lake Champlain as far as beds go. I never delete a bed, you know, unless it's a 3-pounder or smaller. You know, when we go out and we find fish, you don't even write them down anymore unless they're, you know, 3-8 and above. And then I keep that bed always. And like last year, even after tournaments, you know, I looked for some more beds. You know, I had a day or so and I tried to mark stuff because last year the water was like crazy low. Lowest it's been in like 80 years. So you can find some of these beds that are typically in maybe 15 feet of water. Last year, you know, they might only been in 10, 11. So, you know, I marked as many as I can. One of the things, you know, it's not so much strength as it is having history. You know, I've got a lot of beds on Lake Champlain that I can get back on them with my GPS and not know what's down there and just maybe just barely make out something a little darker. You know, the water's deeper, or dirtier, but, you know, you throw your tube jig down there and, you know, you shake it once or twice. The next thing you know, you got a 4-pounder on, you shake them off, and then you go back to the tournament and catch that fish again. And nobody finding that fish. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they're on the banks and they're competing for fish. And I try to really concentrate on the deeper ones.
Are you finding then that those fish are normally set up in that same deal? Obviously, that's why you mark a bed.
Yeah.
Do you ever find areas where, you know, you've looked in the past and then all of a sudden one year there's fish spawning there, or is that typically not the case?
It's really pretty the same every year. You know, there's areas like, I don't know how the fish know, but like when the water temperature gets too hot too quick, those certain fish, especially in the inland sea is real susceptible to warming up too fast. So those fish have learned maybe, I don't know how, over 100 years or whatever, I'm going to start spawning deeper, because a lot of times they have to stop their spawn. You know, if that water gets in the 70s in a couple of days and they just barely moved up, they're not going to spawn. You know, it just ain't going to happen. And so they tend to stay deeper. The ones on the main lake, you know, those ones, their backs are sticking out of the water sometimes. And because that water is so consistently cooler.
That one tournament down there I had in the spring, I did a little bit of looking on the midsection, and you're exactly right. There was fish right up on the bank. It all makes sense now. You know, it's interesting how that all works. As far as, you know, you mentioned your strength is small, sight fishing. What's your favorite way to catch them?
Carolina rig.
Really?
Yeah, just because I hook them with that. They don't break my line and break my heart. You know, I mean, I fish 90% of the time. If I'm smallmouth fishing, I got a drop shot rod in my hand. I mean, I'm using my Panoptix, looking for boulders out in front of me and, you know, trying to do the pitching thing. And, but it's a lot more fun to catch a 4.5 on if you're in a tournament on a Carolina rig, because you can really horse them in. My favorite way probably to catch them I don't like losing them.
Yeah. Walk me through your setup when it comes to a Carolina rig, you know, as far as the rod and reel and line. And then of course, what bait, is there a particular bait that you throw most of the time, or do you switch it up a little bit?
No, I mean, I try, you know, I run a leader same as everyone else. I throw 1 ounce tungsten typically, you know, cause it's usually windy on Champlain if it's time to be Carolina rig fishing. And, you know, you know, late August, September, it can really start to blow. So I keep a heavy weight on. And I like, one thing I've done this year is I've gone to a straighter hook. Like I used to use that, the more EWG hook, you know, but I've gone to a straighter hook and I seem to catch more, you know, not lose as many. But I just throw speed craw, nothing fancy, same as everyone else. You know, I might get a little bit crazy and, you know, paint the claws with a Sharpie or something, but nothing too crazy. I can tell you a funny story about a Carolina rig. We were fishing on Champlain out of Mallets Bay. And the first day it was pretty windy. And I was leading the Eastern Divisionals after that day as a co-angler. And the next day they kept us into Mallets Bay so we couldn't leave. And so I drew this guy and we're fishing right around everyone else. And I got a teammate over there, Robin Royston, and he was catching smallies one right after another. And I'm like, oh man, what is he catching them on, right? And so he loses a fish, and then I throw in that same area a few minutes later, and all of a sudden I got my Carolina rig, and I catch a fish. I lose my lizard, and as I'm reeling his fish in, I nose hooked his lizard that he just broke off. So I threw out with one bait, and I came back with another, and the fish. And I'm looking at my lizard. I was like, why is that thing painted here, painted here? I didn't do that. And then I kind of put two and two together. I said, I bet you that's that fish that he just lost. And I yelled over to him and said, hey, are you dipping your tail and coloring under the chin? And he's like, how'd you know that? I said, I just caught your fish.
Wow.
So, I mean, how many times you throw out and catch someone else's lure back?
Sure. That's crazy. So Carolina rigging. What pound test line are you throwing? Are you throwing braid to a leader, or?
I throw braid to a spro, one of those small spro swivels, and then I throw like 15 pound fluorocarbon.
Okay.
After that.
And you found that a straight shank hook, you're getting a little bit better hookup with those speed cross over an extra wide gap you've experienced.
Yeah, for sure. I think they get it a little deeper in their mouth, and you know, they don't have to open up as much maybe, but. It's funny, we're talking about this Carolina thing. Guys were, you know, they're saying, oh, you got to throw mono on your leader because it floats. And I had this conversation with Jamie Hartman just a little while ago. And he says the same thing. You know, there's not many, I don't think there's any bait that will, that your mono can float. You know, if your bait's already floating, you know, if you're throwing a speed crawl that doesn't really float, you know, I would go with the fluorocarbon. You get less stretch and little bit maybe stronger line.
I've heard that before, that theory. I've always kind of doubted it in my head as well, because you have the weight of the hook and you have a lot of these plastics that we are throwing. They're not buoyant, of course. So I don't think it's doing a whole lot.
No.
But you know, as far as I always ask this question too, and in my opinion, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you love to throw a Carolina rig, and that is a popular technique on Champlain, but if I was to say one of my biggest weaknesses when it comes to smallmouth fishing, that is, I don't throw a Carolina rig enough.
Yeah.
You know, is there any techniques that you wish you could improve on, or techniques that you know are effective you just don't throw that you think would work well on Champlain?
Yeah, it's funny you say. You know, last year on the Elite Series, we were up here, and I was watching Bassmaster Live, and Dave Mullins, like, blew my mind how he was catching smallies on a crankbait like that. And with all the technology, everybody's got the side imaging and everybody's got, you know, the looking out in front of you, this and that. I really feel like the deeper stuff is now the most obvious stuff. And we're almost flipping, you know, like where at the spots that I used to fish in the 90s, you know, those are starting to come back around. You know, the secret rocks that I was fishing in the early 2000s, and, you know, everybody and their brothers on them now, and you got to, you know, get a number just to throw your drop shot in there. So I think Dave Mullins did an amazing job on Champlain last year, and he targeted that 10 to 12 feet crankbait fish. And, you know, you don't see those with your electronics when there's grass and stuff. And I actually found a spot last year that I crushed them on a crankbait smallmouth. And I'm like, oh my God, these are big ones too. So I think that would be what I'd like to improve more on is kind of, you know, you always got to stay one step ahead of everybody. And right now I think everybody's opening up their wallets and they're dumping money out on electronics because they're trying to catch up and do what maybe Polinik did or whatever like that. But Polinik, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like you got to get ahead and do something that's better. You know, that's going to be the next thing. And sure. I think fishing's going to start going back shallow again.
Yeah, it could very well be. You know, when I fish Champlain, there's a variety of patterns I like. I do like that deep bite that you're talking about, but there can be a pretty good shallow bite. Speaking of that, do you, you know, a lot of my fond memories of smallmouth fishing on Champlain come off of topwater baits, whether it be a walking bait like a spook or some type of popar. Is that a technique that you utilize during tournaments or when you're fun fishing or do you throw a topwater lot at all?
No, I don't have one tied on ever.
Come on.
No, never. I mean, you know, my partner, like I fish with a guy, Jason Stoddard, he's a real good largemouth guy, but he's big into spooks and stuff. And like, he'll throw a spook out there, you know, every once in a while, and you do catch big fish in certain parts of the lake. Rouse's Point, again, is a great spot to throw topwater. But it's just not my style. I really like, you know, to have some sort of rubber in my hand, you know, but, you know, I love those Kytec jigs. Those things are crazy good for smallmouth, you know, throw those things up shallow, just like you know, like a tube jig or a grub. Those things work all over the place.
A finesse football head jig.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you throw a variety of, you throw tubes a lot. any particular size when you're throwing the tube? Do you prefer the bigger ones? I know there's a lot of different styles now, slender tubes, smaller tubes. Do you have
I like the cheaper ones.
Okay.
You know, the ones you can buy like a bag of 20.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. I throw tube jig mostly when I'm sight fishing, you know, and I don't, you know, I usually rotate through three different baits. I have three different tube jigs tied on, three different colors, just to kind of confuse them a little bit. And then I'll have a drop shot if everything else fails.
Right. Right. Once that summer pattern starts to, it starts transitioning into the fall, I assume that's going to be September. By October, sometimes it can get, it's already pretty cold up there. What are you looking for in the fall time on Champlain?
See, the fall is probably the most patternable time of year on Champlain. Like if somebody was going to come up and fish on Champlain just for fun and they wanted to catch a lot of fish, the first, second week in October is the best time probably to go, especially if you can get a nice calm day. That's a good day to throw a topwater. I'm looking for big chunk rock for smallmouths, and I try to find, like, I would look for humps that come up to like 3 or 4 feet under that have maybe 8 feet around. That's where you want to really spend a lot of time in the fall for smallmouth. And those big ones, they'll get up there and they start eating crayfish. I think the crayfish, they start to molt and all that stuff in the fall, and they're getting up there and they're clicking, the males are, and kind of make a bunch of noise. So I always like to throw something with a rattle in it that time of year, and fish boulders, stuff like that.
I haven't had the opportunity to target fish on Champlain that time of year. I always wanted to get back up there and do it. I'm sure I will someday. But after that, the fall bite, that October, and then we're talking, that water temp gets into the 40s, maybe late October into November. What techniques are you utilizing then? Are those fish still kind of up shallow on those humps, or are they now, I guess, maybe near their wintering holes? And is there a such thing as a wintering hole on Champlain?
You're talking to the wrong guy. As soon as November hits, I'm in a deer stand.
You're in the world. For real, you don't mess with it.
No, I usually, after my last tournament, my boat goes away for the rest of the year. Once I'm done.
It's hard to do when you're passionate about the outdoors. Sometimes it's hard to do both, and you got to pick and choose. So I get it. Yeah. What is your personal best smallmouth, and did it come from Champlain?
My personal best one's probably this one right over there.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, that one I caught when I was in high school. Maybe I was a senior. That's back on Fairfield Pond.
Okay. But,
yeah, that's where I kind of, learned how to fish. I used to go there all the time, every day after school and stuff, and just kind of plug around. It's a great little place. That one, sure, was just 5'7", 4", something like that.
How did you catch it?
Sweetwater chub. It was on a bed. What a sweetwater chub is?
I want to say so, but I don't know. I have no idea.
That's an old school bait. It's just basically like, we used to have sweetwater chubs and the SS sluggos and the sluggo. Just like half of a sluggo, but a great smallmouth bait.
Really? And they don't make those anymore? Do you still have any?
I don't, but I know guys that do. And then there was another Berkeley came out, I don't know, maybe in the late 90s with a 4-inch Berkeley power slug. And they made two colors. They made like a black and white swirl and then a pearl. And I've got friends, Randy Savage and some other guys that have like closets full of them, because back then, they were working so good, and everybody bought them up. I got a few packages left, but I think the smell in them is probably gone by now.
If you could have one bait for the rest of your life to throw for smallmouth, what would it be?
I like the dream shot. I throw two things. I throw a dream shot and I throw a flirt worm. The flirt worm gets me some bigger bites, I think, but the dream shot, you just catch everything with that thing.
Largemouth and smallmouth.
Yeah. Yeah. They like that thing on Champlain. Anything with browns and greens and browns on Champlain. I like something with a little purple. We used to throw the watermelon candy lizard a lot for smallmouth on Champlain. And that was a ticket, a long time ago. And I still think the fish like stuff with a little purple in it.
As far as tournaments go for you, obviously I don't want to assume anything, but you're really dialed into the Inland Sea area. Is that where you spend a lot of your time throughout the year? Do you get outside of that zone, or do you have to?
I really stay there in between there and Missisquoi. You know, I might play in Rouses a little bit, but typically not. You know, I'm a firm believer that you can't fish everything on Lake Champlain. It's just so big. You got to pick an area and stick to it. And so if I'm going to go out practicing and looking for fish, I might as well go where I've got a milk run already. You know, I got probably 15, 20 spots that I never fish unless it's a tournament. You know, a boulder out in the middle of nowheres. You know, we got a tree in 30 feet of water that nobody knows about. You know, there's another one over in another spot. And it's just stuff that you can just go and drop on and catch maybe one fish that, you know, really help you out during the day. So what I try to do is I try to find, you know, fish in that general area close to where my milk run is. And then if I get in trouble, I can just start, you know, fishing my one or two fish spots and see what happens. And sometimes that's the blessing in disguise, you know.
Sure. Now, with all the experience and success that you had on Champlain, obviously there's a target on your back when you're out there. Guys know, you know, that you bring fish to the scales. And so I want to ask you this. What advice can you give to somebody that's, let's say they decide to fish in open and the events come to Champlain and they got to deal with dudes like you, right? They don't have the experience. Can they do well? Can you do well in an event? You know, there's a lot of community holes that, you know, just with a little bit of research, you can find out. Can you get your butt kicked by somebody fishing the community hole, or is that experience going to really come into play, or is it almost impossible? Or what are your thoughts on that? What advice can you give to someone that wants to try to compete?
I mean, in a one day event, you really, you know, it's anybody can win really, but typically you got to have some backup stuff. What I would give for advice, it would be definitely fish your strengths. You know, no matter if what you do and what you're good at, there's some place on Champlain where you guys can mingle and come together. And, you know, don't try to fish too much. Like I think guys, you know, on Champlain, they burn so much gas and there's really no need for it. If they could see how many fish are actually in that lake, you know, you don't even really need to go that far at all. You know, there's so many fish, and just slow down, let the nerves get out. You know, it's a lot of times in the tournament, you know, I don't go to my good spots until 10, 11 o'clock. Anything before 10 o'clock in the morning on Lake Champlain, it's typically a bonus for me. I need that sun to be up. I need my fish to set up, and anything in that morning when the fish are cruising around, you know, that's a bonus. And I would just, you know, tell the guys the fish are strengths and slow down. I think people fish too fast on Champlain.
What's a good five fish limit that you feel good about coming back to the scales now when it comes to smallmouth?
Well, it depends on time of year. Like last year we fished an open, it was like the first or second week in June. And we came back with, it was a six fish limit. We had 25. And we won that one by 2 pounds. So anytime you're pushing that 4 pound average, a smallmouth on Champlain, you're right there. You're going to be, you know, but I've also seen times when the wind blows hard and 18 pounds of smallmouth, you know, will win. I won an ABA one year with like 18 and a half pounds. And, you know, that was a post spawn tournament. But
do you feel like the fish are getting a little bit bigger or pretty much the same?
Oh, they're definitely getting bigger. They're definitely getting bigger. And that's all the outwives. You know, those things are, they've never been native to Lake Champlain, and now they're everywhere, and the fish are just gorging on them, and they're getting really fat. Hmm. I mean, I can remember I fished an open in 1998 on Lake Champlain out of Mallets Bay, and there was 96 teams. There was 96 boats, and back then there was an 8-fish limit, and we won that tournament, and I had 25 and change on 8 fish, and now, like I just said, you know, you got to have 25 on 6 fish. So the fishermen have gotten a lot better with electronics, and, you know, everybody wants to be a pro and all that stuff. But the fish have definitely gotten bigger. They've gotten smarter too, I believe.
Yeah. Like what you were saying, as far as those fish kind of moving up shallower now, things like that. Obviously there's always going to be deep fish. I guess it goes just like you mentioned, your strengths. You know, if you if you're used to catching smallmouth shallower, you can certainly do that and find some good fishing to be had there. If your specialty is offshore and using your graphs, you can find that pattern, you know, top water, Carolina rigging. That's what's so great about Champlain is the fact that you can pretty much do whatever you feel like doing and catch those fish. Now, I know this is a smallmouth podcast, but I do want to pick your brain real quick. I want to know your opinion when it comes to largemouth, because I know you can catch some big largemouth. Are you more of a mixed bag type of person, or do you, you know, I guess depending on the time of year, or is it either, hey, we're going to bring in five big largemouth, this is what we're doing, or do you mix it up throughout the day?
I mix it up. I like a mixed bag. But if I'm on a good largemouth bite, I won't leave it. You know, last year we won, I don't know, four or five tournaments, and I think I had largemouth in all of them but one. And I figured out something last year. I don't really want to talk about it too much, because the elites are not the elites, but the Toyota series is coming, and that's going to be, I think that's going to be right in my wheelhouse this year. And I'm going to try a certain pattern. I'm really fishing largemouth a lot deeper than anyone else. You know, I won a CBS last year at about 20 pounds of largemouth, and I think my shallowest largemouth was 18 feet. And not a lot of guys are looking out that deep, you know, and that's kind of like, I'm using my electronics in a funny way that I think I can determine what type of grass it is, and maybe just target a certain type of grass. And, you know, when I get a jig in my hand, I feel comfortable.
Well, that's a whole nother podcast. We can talk an hour about largemouth fishing on Champlain, but I want to ask you one final question. You know, when it comes to the top anglers out there in the country, what do you think separates you, you know, being able to dominate on Champlain and the smallmouth game? What do you think it is that separates you from other anglers out there?
I think I got good instincts. You know, I'm able to, you know, I try to fish the day. I don't get hung up on practice and stuff like that. You know, I had a tournament a couple years ago where, you know, we were struggling 11 o'clock and I was just thinking, you know, the wind's blowing a certain direction. I'm going to go trying to find this edge. And I found it 2 years ago, blah, blah, blah. I never caught a fish there ever during practice. And they were just set right up. And it's my ability to, you know, move on the fly, you know, and I'm not afraid to change directions fast. Like if I'm fishing smallmouth on Champlain, I mean, you know, when you drive over them and you look at your graph and you don't see nothing, they're gone. You know, there's a reason you don't see nothing. They're gone. They're here today, gone tomorrow. And you can't get hung up on trying to, you know, force it. And I think a lot of guys are scared to go and fish new water during a tournament, and because they're trying to do what they did during practice. And well, guess what? It's not practice. It's a different day. And that's what I love about Champlain. That's what I love about bass fishing, is it changes every day. And you know, you got to be able to stay with it and change with it.
Wow, that's some good advice. So it sounds like you got a couple big tournaments in 2021 on Champlain that you're looking forward to. I can't wait to follow you and see how you do in those events. What's a good way if anyone wants to follow, you know, your fishing? Do you have anything on social media? Is there any sponsors you want to talk about as well?
I'm on Facebook. You know, I let anybody as a fishing fan wants to, you know, I'm friends with all fishermen, and, you know, I'm to the point in my fishing career now where, like, I do seminars and stuff once a year in the wintertime, and I'm not afraid to give away, you know, what I've learned, and maybe someone else can catch some fish, because, you know, kind of been there, done that. And it is good to see the younger. There's some really good young fishermen coming up through now. And it wasn't like that in the middle of my career. In the middle of my career, it was like it was always the same old people. And now to see these young guys coming through, it's impressive, and they can just flat out catch them.
Yeah, you got your work cut out to stay on top, that's for sure. But I'm sure you're going to continue to bring some big bags in the future. It was a pleasure talking with you, JJ. We learned a lot here. If anyone's looking to fish Champlain or really any northern body of water, there's a lot of lakes. You know, I travel across the country. The thing about Champlain is it reminds me of so many other lakes, because different sections are very similar. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and there's a bunch of lakes in Wisconsin that, yeah, obviously they're not as big as Champlain, but you can take what you learned across the country, go to Champlain and have a great time. And I think that's what makes it such a unique fishery. And, you know, you're fortunate 9 minutes away from the boat ramp.
Yeah, I'm spoiled. Complain.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you again. I hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Learned a lot about fishing on Lake Champlain with one of the best sticks out there. JJ, I appreciate you coming on. You're welcome back anytime. And yeah, we'd love to hear all your secrets.
Awesome. Yeah, had fun. Take care, man.
Thanks so much for listening today. Make sure that you're subscribed to the show and follow us on Instagram at Small Mouth Crush. Also, the YouTube channel, Small Mouth Crush. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and comment with a review below. And as always, until next time, we'll see you on the water.